With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, our hymns this morning are hymns number 534, 605, 566, and 606. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled, Forgiving the Lord's Debtors, and is taken from Luke 16, 1-15. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning. Please join us as we sing our opening hymn, hymn number 534, Lord Enthroned in Heavenly Splendor.
Good morning. Great to see you all again this morning. I hope you all had a wonderful week, and today we get to gather together to just to receive the Lord's blessings this morning, and we praise God for the rain that he has brought us, and we pray that with the rain, even our farmers can find a day of rest today, just accepting God's blessings and trusting that he has all things in his care. We begin this morning with our opening hymn, which is number 534, hymn 534, Lord Enthroned in Heavenly Splendor. Would you please stand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Dear friends, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our psalm for this morning comes from Psalm 113, starting in the first verse, and we read responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Who is like the Lord God, who is seated on high? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, world without end. Amen. Have mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church in your perpetual mercy. And because without you we cannot but fall, preserve us from all things hurtful and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from a song of praise performed by Tom. Be to God. Our Old Testament reading for this 15th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Amos, chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, "When will the new moon be over that we may sell grain? and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may take the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place, the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the Alleluia verse.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus also said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said, take your bill and write 80. The master commended this dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will you give that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a children's message. Thank you so much for coming up here today. So good to see you. So I brought with me just a couple of these rocks, but you know, these are not just any of the ordinary rocks. In fact, these are what you can call fool's golds. Do you know what fool's gold is? Fool's gold, it's a rock that looks like gold. From the outside, it looks like gold, but in reality, it's kind of a worthless rock, you know? It gets its name from like a couple hundred years ago when people came to America. They found fool's gold everywhere, and they brought it all the way around the world. They all thought they had something very valuable with them. They thought they were going to be super rich. And yet it turns out it was fool's gold. It wasn't real gold, and what they really had was just plain ordinary rocks, nothing special, nothing valuable. You know, it kind of reminds me of words of Jesus. He tells us that there are a lot of things in this life that we value that in reality isn't that important, right? Can you think of some of those things that we value that really aren't overly important? You know, the world tells us that money is the most valuable thing. People tell us that games are the most valuable. People tell us that cell phones are the most valuable thing we can have. And yet, God tells us all these things are passing away. Those things aren't what's valuable in life. And rather, he says what's valuable is his word. He tells us that although all these things, all these rocks, all these worthless things, they're all going to pass away, but the reason why God's word is so valuable is because it's eternal. It's going to last forever, and his word gives you eternal life. And with that, that is why he tells us to concentrate on this and value his word most highly, because it is going to last for all eternity and give you his many blessings. Can you please join me in a word of prayer? That would be great. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your holy word, for the many blessings that you have given us, knowing that your word is most precious to us, where you have given your Son to die for us, to forgive us of our sins. Help us to see you as the giver of all good things. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming up here. As you go back to your seats, I invite the congregation to join in singing in hymn number 566, the first four verses. To you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, today's gospel reading is incredibly strange. And if you have a lot of questions about it this morning, that's actually very normal. Because to be perfectly honest, it's actually one in which no two commentaries can seem to agree. They're all trying to make sense of this parable of the unjust steward. And part of the reason why there's so much confusion, I believe, comes from how one tries to interpret verse 8. It appears to me that so much of one's interpretation hinges on that verse. Verse 8, where the master praises the unjust steward. Jesus says that the master praised the unrighteous manager because he acted shrewdly. And seriously, how are we supposed to understand that? How can Jesus tell us a story where the main character seems to be applauded for sin? He's applauded for squandering someone else's possessions and for scheming. Well, I think the key to understanding this text is found by going back to chapter 15. Because there we see again that Jesus here, he is still just eating with tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees still just moments ago accused him of mingling with and welcoming sinners before him. And as we saw last week, this is the same setting where we got the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And it's the same setting where we get the parable of the prodigal son. And now it's the same setting where we get the parable of the unjust steward. They all flow out of this same conversation. Jesus is just hitting home how he longs to welcome sinners. He's trying to make it perfectly clear that by the end of all of this, by the end of everything he said, he wants there to be no doubt that God welcomes sinners into his kingdom. Jesus wants there to be no doubt that God longs to show people his grace. It's just parable after parable. God seeks out sinners. God finds them. He welcomes them, and he shows them grace. And that is the key to understanding this parable. In verse 3 of our passage for this morning, we get a nice soliloquy. You know, meaning we get to see the internal thoughts of the manager. He speaks to himself, and as the readers, we get to know and to share in this unjust steward's thoughts, feelings, and his intentions. In verse 3 again, the manager says to himself, saying, "What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. I have decided what I will do so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." And from there, he goes on to begins forgiving the debts people owe to his master. But here we see the thoughts of this manager. And more importantly, we see that this manager has decided to take a gamble. Namely, a gamble on grace. Hoping to find grace with his neighbors, but on a deeper level, he is taking a gamble on the grace of his master. Because upon doing this, upon doing all of this, the master would have every right to just throw this unjust steward in jail. If he wanted to, the master could require that the manager pay back everything that he had just forgiven for all of his losses. And yet, this manager gambles on grace. He takes the bet. He gambles on the grace of his master. And this idea, it's not the first time that we've ever seen this. Because if you remember back to the parable of the prodigal son, that's the parable that immediately precedes this text this morning. There we see another soliloquy. We see another gamble on grace. And if you remember the story, this son takes all of his father's possessions. He takes his inheritance early and he runs off to go live off in a far country. And there he lives a party life. He lives a party life until he runs out of money. And after squandering all of his father's possessions, this son too speaks to himself. He asks himself, saying, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger." "Ah," he says, "I know what I will do. I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer to be called your son. Treat me as your hired servants.'" Like the steward, again, this son gambles on grace, the grace of his father. The son who essentially wished that his father was dead took his possessions and squandered them. But now he gambles, hoping that the father would show him grace. Just hire me back as one of your servants, he says. You know, both these parables have what one may call a come-to-Jesus moment. The prodigal son, after squandering all of his possessions, has his sin finally catch up to him. He had nowhere to go. He had nothing to do. He had nothing to eat except food for pigs. And it's at this moment of crisis when he finally realizes that his way of life cannot be sustained. He can't indulge in his sin forever because on this day it has all finally caught up to him. And likewise, the unjust manager that we saw this morning, he has a come to Jesus moment as well. His sin finally found out. It was made public and it was brought to the attention of his master. The news reached his lord that this master had likewise squandered all of his possessions. And without warning, his sin was thrust out into the open for all people to see. He was about to lose face and he was about to lose his job, and he realizes that this was the only work that he could possibly do. You know, he doesn't have the strength to do hard labor, and he's too ashamed to beg, and so he has this moment of crisis, this come to Jesus moment where he gambles on grace. And the beauty of these two parables comes with their similarities. In both cases, the grace that each one received was far greater than what they had even imagined. The grace that they gambled on and the grace that they trusted in was deeper and fuller than what they had ever hoped for. You see, what they hoped for was just the smallest amount of pity. Just have a little mercy on me, they thought. Just don't throw me in jail, thought the manager. And the son likewise, just hire me as your servant. But what they both received in return was rather an abundant and overflowing grace that was already there waiting for them. Grace was already present, waiting to be outpoured upon them. And the servant was praised, commended for his shrewdness, commended for his wisdom. The master saw cleverness in his actions, showing him grace more abundant than he could have ever imagined. And the prodigal son, he returns home hoping to just receive just that little bit of grace. But what he gets instead is the open arms and the loving embrace of his father. His father doesn't even wait to listen to his words, but rather he immediately clings to him. He holds on to his son and he sends for servants to prepare this beautiful banquet for his son. See, grace is abounding everywhere in these stories, and that is the lesson. That you and I, that we don't have to gamble on grace, because grace is already there for you, overflowing. There's no need for wishful thinking, because if anyone could be accused of squandering riches or of giving away of one's possessions, it is clearly and most definitely seen in Jesus Christ. Jesus, accused by the Pharisees of squandering all of his riches on tax collectors and sinners. He squanders all of his riches of heaven upon unworthy people. Upon people who don't deserve it. Upon people who just sin against him. He squanders his grace, his love, and his blessings freely for you and for me. We don't have to wait for these come to Jesus moments. As Christians, we come daily, recognizing our sins. We come before him, repenting of all of our failures. Not just gambling on his grace, but trusting and knowing that his loving kindness is fuller and it's deeper than what we could have ever imagined. You see, whether you have squandered God's gifts for yourself, whether you've taken advantage of your freedom as a Christian, living however you so desire, whether you've forsaken God's truths and his commandments, whether you've squandered God's many blessings for your own life, God squanders his riches even more for you. And he does so lovingly, quick to give you grace, longing to give you forgiveness in Jesus, that you may be found cherished before our heavenly Father. See, and this is most evidently seen and most assuredly believed through the death of Jesus Christ, giving of his own blood as he hung there on that cross. As people stripped him naked and gambled for his clothing, he remained on that cross, dying for their very sins. Dying so that you and I wouldn't have to gamble on grace, but rather that we could have this sure and certain hope. We could have this hope that we have all that we need, all the forgiveness of sins, that we have life and salvation. Jesus squanders his many blessings on tax collectors and sinners. He gives them of his many blessings. He did it for them, and he does it for you now, today, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we get to worship God with our offerings. And I invite you to sign the fellowship bulletin at the ends of your pew. Thank you. Congregation, please stand for prayer. The generous Savior, your blessings and your gifts are beyond comprehension. Although we cannot fully grasp nor understand the deepness of your love, we pray that you would continue to lead us into all truth. Help us to value your many blessings, and that we would not take advantage of your grace nor squander your gifts. Help us to use all we have, all of our possessions and talents for you and for your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the church, We pray for the well-being of the body of Christ. We ask that you would continue to raise up servants and faithful pastors. We pray that you would bring men into the ministry who will devote themselves to your truth and to the building up of your people in faith. And we pray that you would continue to raise up women also to be faithful stewards of your gifts. Lead them to use their many gifts for the encouragement of the body of Christ. Lead them to serve in their many ways and vocations that are pleasing to you and your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. O great physician, in your hands lies the health and well-being of all people. We acknowledge that all blessings of life and body comes from you. And we pray this morning for the many brothers and sisters in faith who are struggling with complications of this life, whether they are hurting physically, mentally, or spiritually. Lord, we lift before you, especially this morning, Betty, Pat, and Norma, Mary, Charles, Carol, Melissa, Nancy, Cindy, David, Marie, Amy, Neil, Phoebe, Terry, Erica, Judy, Bill, Kathy, Taylor, Debbie, and Lisa. Lord, we trust that you have all things under your loving care. And we trust that through it all, you will use all things for our good. And ultimately, Lord, we trust that you will one day restore us back to our perfected, resurrected, and physical bodies. Lord, in your mercy. God of all righteousness, we pray for those who are serving in our armed forces today, including Rodney Heisenmeyer and Chad Zingelbin. We pray that you will continue to use them wherever you've called them. And all who serve in the American military, we ask that you would continue to keep them safe, and that you would surround them with wise and godly chaplains who can strengthen them with your truth. Lord, in your mercy. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we pray to you, Holy Lord, trusting in your mercy. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. We sing our closing hymn number 606. You may be seated.